Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to the show. Episode 2. I'm going to try to get a few episodes back to where I was when I first started doing my show, and then I'm going to be going back to weekly instead of like practically every day. So up to episode 6, I think, is where I left off last time. I apologize if there's ambient noise in the background. My children just woke up. I have them in the bedroom, but they have decided to discover playing with doors. Fun thing to do. And, yes, you might hear some door slamming or children screaming in the background. I promise everything is fine. And we'll get started from where we left off here. So, let's see, we're still reading from Displaced by J.F. Jenkins, and we're at chapter 3. Okay, so 3. Chevelle. This can't be happening. This can't be. Meanwhile, Timber hid behind a row of clearance mark toys. He waved for Wiccan to join him. Come on, before it sees you. Instead, Wiccan made a dive for the counter. If the tall guy with the gun was watching, he didn't do anything. It was hard to tell if he was paying attention to us or not. His unnaturally large purple eyes continually glanced around him with what I imagined was curiosity. The more I watched him, the more I wondered if he was even human. Nobody was that tall normally, and if I squinted, I was pretty sure I noticed his skin was a slight shade of blue. From where I was, it was hard to see too many more details about him beyond his plain black Mandarin-style suit. Back room, Wiccan mouthed to me, waved at Timber to follow. I gave the little girl by me a gentle tug and whispered, "This way." Then I put a finger to my lips. We could all freak out later. Slowly and as discreetly as possible, we crept back to the employees' area of the store. I let the girl go in first and then shut the door behind. A few seconds later, the boys joined me along with a couple of middle-aged men. All the days to have a terrorist attack, it had to be the one where I'm working, Wiccan moaned, covering his face with his hands. My mom is going to kill me. Pretty sure those aren't terrorists, I said. He saw you. We'd have been toast if they were terrorists. Ransom, duh. Looked like an alien to me, Timber said softly. He went over to the little girl. Are your parents here? She shook her head, and I felt a heaviness in my heart. If I wanted my mom, I couldn't imagine how she was feeling. Timber put an arm around her and gave her a hug. Not something I'd have expected from a mega superstar. The media always painted the rich and famous as being rather self-serving or untouchable. Their good deeds were grand, like buying computers for a new school or building a city in a third world country. And yet, Timber thought of the most helpless person in the room first. He was a lot better than me, that's for sure. I watched as he reached into his pockets and dumped some candy onto the break room table. Go ahead, he said, and with a nod at the girl. Hesitantly, she took a piece and then ramped. My kind of girl. She likes to eat her feelings, too. I reached for the table and grabbed a piece of saltwater taffy. It was red and green and smelled like watermelon, which I hated. I ate it anyway, and it tasted amazing, not just because it was warm and squishy from being in Timber's pocket. It was comforting, a small pleasure I could savor, even if the world around me went to crap. Before I knew it, I was going for a second piece. Timber also took one and slowly unwrapped the paper. What now? We can try and escape and out the back, Wiccan said. There's a door that leads to the hidden hallways where all the maintenance stuff happens. Eventually, it goes to a service elevator, and that goes to the basement, and that should have a way to get out back outside again. Works for me, one of the older guys with us said. Wiccan gave a slight shrug. Pretty sure we're supposed to stay put, though. That's what protocol says. Screw protocol. If we can escape, we should. There's a reason we're not supposed to go anywhere. It keeps us safe in case these terrorist guys are already in those hallways. The best thing we can do is stay put and wait for the SWAT team to show up, I said. The guy rolled his eyes. Like you'd know anything. You're how old? 12? My jaw tightened, and I reached for another piece of candy. For the time being, I held my tongue. I briefly made eye contact with Timber, and he rolled his eyes while giving me a tiny smile. In other circumstances, I'd have probably swooned. Instead, I counted myself as the luckiest girl in the world, because if I was going to spend my afternoon trapped in the back room, I wanted to be with someone I didn't want to murder. Kimber's calm demeanor and charm eased a lot of the tension. It helped me be a lot less scared. Between him and Wiccan, I knew I was as safe as I could get. Look, man, if you want to go, be my guest. I'm just telling you what we're supposed to do in these situations, Wiccan said. He pointed to the back door. Take the risk, but if you get shot in the process, let it be known to everyone that I warned you of the risks. The guy nudged his buddy, and without another word, not even a good luck or a see ya, they made their way to the back door. I squeezed my eyes shut when I heard it open and then close quietly. No one said anything, and I wished someone would speak. I myself had no words, but I couldn't stand listening to the humming of the air conditioning and the faint sounds of screaming coming from out in the mall. There weren't any gunshots or explosions. That didn't mean something bad wasn't happening either. If everything was okay, then no one would be yelling or crying, right? I hugged my knees to my chest where I sat and reached for a nearby ginormous stuffed hippo. It had a rather goofy grin on its face, and I couldn't help but laugh sourly at it. Wiccan gave me a rather confused-looking frown, but still silence. Why wouldn't someone say something? The TV work? Timber asked at last, pointing to a small television set sitting on the break table. I sighed and squeezed the life out of the hippo. He plays movies. That's about it. There's no cable hookup. What about the computer? Does it get internet? Wiccan laughed. Everything is blocked. Your best bet is to use your phone, man. He rolled his eyes, and there was so much hostility in his voice. Completely unnecessary, if you ask me. With a sigh, Timber showed us his smartphone. Latest model, I should add. Nothing was on his screen but static. I already thought of that, too. But whatever is going on is messing not only with my reception, but with my device. Something those aliens did. Okay, the first time you suggested aliens, I blew it off as just brainstorming and didn't think you were serious. But you honestly believe aliens are here at the mall? Are you high? Did you smoke something before going on your grand adventure here, before meeting your mass of fangirls? Timber's eyes narrowed. I don't do drugs. Right, Wiccan snorted. I don't. Whatever you say, Mr. Hollywood, maybe it is all only gossip, but I do hear what people say about you. There's got to be some kind of inkling of truth in there, right? Timber faced away from us and ran a hand through his hair. Wow, I can't believe you want to interrogate and judge my lifestyle now of all times. He glanced back at us, and his gaze met Wiccan's. The cold way it pierced across the room was enough to have me make a mental note to never piss Timber off, ever. He continued. As for the alien theory, tell me if you saw what I did. Because I saw a freakishly tall guy with blue skin holding a gun that didn't exactly look like anything I've ever seen before. I noticed the blue, too, I said quietly. The way Wiccan's eyes went wide and his shoulders stopped suggested I had just betrayed him. I couldn't lie, though. I saw what I saw. It's subtle, but it's there, Timber added. Shaking his head, Wiccan started to pace. You're more of a nerd than I thought. The glasses and the outfit kind of gave it away, but I thought maybe it was some kind of crazy disguise. Do you usually go out like that in public on a regular basis? Timber brought the palm of his hand to his face. Wow. What? I just can't get over how immature you are. We're in the middle of some kind of an attack, and you're criticizing the way I dress, how I supposedly act. Shouldn't we be focusing on what's going to happen from here? There's nothing we can do but wait. We've already been over this. So why are you picking on me? I'm not picking on you. And from there, Timber shouted something I could barely understand because both of them started yelling at the same time. I groaned and glanced over at the girl with the teddy bear. Her gaze darted back and forth between the two young men as if she were watching a tennis match. Everything stopped when there was a loud popping noise coming from the main mall area. And I do mean everything. Both of the boys stopped fighting and faced the doorway. In fact, they both placed themselves between us girls and the door itself. It was kind of sweet and unexpected, especially from Wiccan. The power went out as well, and the room became uncomfortably dark and quiet. All of us pulled out our cell phones, and even though there was no reception or much of a picture, they at least put off some kind of light. No more screaming, no more humming of the air conditioner, no more of anything but the slow, deep breathing of one of the guys and the loud thudding of my heart in my chest. The girl began to sniffle. I'm kind of surprised she didn't have a breakdown earlier. I'm surprised I didn't have a breakdown. I reached for the girl's hand and gave it a squeeze. It's okay, I whispered, but the words barely made their way out. It felt a lot like a lie. Nothing about the situation seemed all that okay to me. The only way I could justify it as a true statement was because we weren't alone. Patrons of the mall, it is imperative you listen to the words I'm about to say before any more lives are unnecessarily lost. We are going to give you a choice, cooperate or suffer the consequences. It is quite simple. Those of you willing to do as we say, we ask you to come to the main entrance within a half an hour. Anyone who is not there will assume only wants to cause problems. Anyone caught trying to escape will be harmed. Make your choice. So now what? 4. Chevelle. I look between the two guys standing between me and the door, wishing I could read their minds. They were both so quiet, and I hated it. Earlier, they each had rather strong opinions of what to think. Now there was nothing. Did I have to make the decision for all of us? I wasn't sure if I could handle that kind of pressure, let alone live with the consequences. But I wasn't left with much of a choice. I guess we turn ourselves over, I said quietly, my face half buried in the large hippo synthetic fur. Timber nodded, his shoulders hunched up around him, and he rubbed his arms slowly. His gaze hardly ever left his phone. The light bouncing off his eyes revealed a glistening of tears. If that wasn't the look of defeat, I don't know what was. Wiccan was the exact opposite, cheerful, confident, and poised, and his gaze strong and determined. The only hint that he might have been afraid was the slight shaking of his hand. Sorry about that. My children were getting a little too wild. Anyway, let's see. The only hint that he might have been afraid was the slight shaking of his hand. He looked down at me. You don't know what they're going to do to us. I know what will happen if we don't agree to their terms, though, I said softly. Escaping is futile. Not following instructions sounds dangerous. I personally do not want to die. And you're assuming they won't mass execute everyone or pick us off one by one until their demands are met? He snapped. I think I like my chances better with escaping. Timber held his phone over his watch. We have 25 more minutes to decide. 10 if you want to include time to walk down to the main entrance. I'm personally going to go along with them. I'm with her, he pointed to me. I'm not ready to die yet. Then I guess this is where we go our separate ways, Wiccan said. Again, he looked as if I had betrayed him or something. There was a sadness in his tone, laced with anger. His gaze met mine, and for a moment his strong composure faltered. Last chance, Chevelle. I shook my head, tears pooling in my eyes. I'll never make it. I'll slow you down. I'll be the reason you can't get away. His hazel eyes closed, and he reached over to hug me. Then he whispered in my ear with a shaky voice, I love you. My gaze met his, and I didn't know what to say in return. Part of me was wondering if I even heard him right, or if I imagined him talking in the first place, because the words had barely been audible. When the sadness in his frown increased, I knew he had actually said it. He pushed his way past us and toward the back door. Wiccan, I whimpered. I felt the same way, loved him too. None of that seemed right, though my heart did have a special fondness for him that I didn't understand. We'd gotten close enough through all of our time together. He waited in the doorway, waiting for me to finish my thought. Please be careful so we can talk about this again. He flashed me a small smirk. Of course. And then he was gone. Timber gave my shoulder a squeeze. Come on, if we're going to do this, we should go now before we waste any more time. I nodded and stood, never letting go of the hippo. That thing was coming with me. I didn't care how stupid I looked. The girl brought along her teddy bear, and the three of us made our way out the door using the light of our phones to make sure we didn't trip over anything. Timber dropped down to pick up his bag of purchases from earlier on our way to the gate, which was now open. Outside were bright blue lights, which reminded me a lot of tiki torches. They were small and illuminated with electric light instead of fire. We followed the lights to the escalator, which were now nothing more than an ordinary staircase, leading us to our potential doom. Timber took the lead, and with his free hand, he held on to the little girl who had been forced into our care. Every so often, he looked back at me and gave me a small smile, as if that were his way of silently telling me we'd be taken care of, too. At the bottom of the stairs was the main entrance. There were not as many people there as I originally thought there would be. Somewhere between 50 and 70 individuals of mixed ages sat on the floor under the glow of the blue lights. What disturbed me was how many of them were parentless children or teenagers. The next 12 represented age group was 20-something year-old women, then a few middle-aged couples, and an even less number of elderly. How many men tried to get away? What had happened to the mass of teenage girls who had been here earlier? There wasn't any blood, and the only signs of struggle were a few tipped-over plants. Did they escape, or at least try to? The three of us found an open spot on the floor and sat down near a group of crying children who couldn't have been any older than 9 or 10. Do you think my mommy will be here? The little girl asked. I shrugged. Maybe. I wanted to be hopeful for her. Maybe that's why all the kids had decided to congregate at the entrance, too. They were looking for their parents as well. Timber reached into his bag and pulled out a bag of gummy worms. The guy was like a walking candy shop. I wondered what else he brought. He opened up the bag and waved a few of the other kids over. When our gazes met, he shrugged. Some from panicking or going into shock. He looked at me over. So you know who I am, but I don't think I've caught your name. Chevelle, I said softly. Like the band, he smiled. I doubt that's what my parents were thinking, but yes, like the band. He nudged the girl. And what's your name? Lara, she said in between bites of gummy. Nice to meet you, Lara. I'm Timber. He kept his voice low. It was hard to tell if she recognized him or not. She was a little young to be a part of his fan base. I pegged her at about 6 years old. Still, kids were smart and observant. If she knew who he was, she didn't care. She did, however, lean in closer to him to snuggle in a little. Will you stay with me until my mommy comes back? She asked. Of course. He smiled and showed off his perfect teeth again. They glowed in the blue light, and it was more than a little amusing to see. Lara giggled, and the sound was music to my ears and contagious. Soon I was laughing as well, if not quietly. Sure, we both got a couple of strange looks from some of the people sitting around us, but I didn't care too much. A small lift in the tension was nice. Not like it lasted long, because eventually our half-hour deadline was up. I had been praying silently that Wickham would change his mind and come with us after all. He never showed. 5. Chevelle. When the half hour was up, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Something to blow up, maybe, or for our captors to show themselves with their weapons drawn. Nothing was kind of the last thing I thought would happen, but that's exactly what did happen. Nothing. No flashing lights, no bells or whistles, not even a warning was heard, just more of the same heavy silence. Crying of the kids lessened. A few more of the adults took Timber's example and stepped up to care for a few of them. You know, attempted to make it less scary for all of us. Do you think this might be an elaborate reality TV show prank? I asked quietly, leaning into Timber a little. He shook his head. Doubt it. If it is, I'm going to have a serious talk with a lawyer. He checked his watch again. He did that a lot. 10 minutes late. I'm not sure what that means. It means we are gracious and kind, giving the undecided extra time to choose their fate, a male voice said from behind us. We both faced the source and saw a young man, probably close to 30 in age. He had dark skin that caused him to almost blind him with the darkness. The blue lights reflected off of his bald head, the whites of his eyes and his teeth. Kind of creepy, but his voice was gentle enough to make me want to believe he didn't mean us any harm. Yeah, I was still on edge and ready for anything, but it was a small comfort all the same. Like, maybe if we did cooperate with whoever these people, these things were, then we'd be safe when we get to go home again. Slowly, the other people waiting in the entry of the mall all faced the young man as well. Some of the kids started to cry again. Don't be afraid, because you've been obedient. No harm will come to you, I promise. Only those who fight will be punished, the young man said. My name is Paul. I'm a regular human being, just like the rest of you. There's nothing special about me outside of the fact that I've been chosen for a special purpose, and so have you. I swallowed that bile. What if I didn't want to be special? Did anyone stop to think about that? Not everyone wants to go places and do big things. Some people were content with just being and living from day to day in the ordinary. I was one of those people. Paul brought a hand up to his ear, and I noticed then that he had some kind of headset on. Kind of like one of those wireless devices that a lot of people use to talk on their phones everywhere they went. He tilted his head to the side, leaning into his hands, and then nodded. What is going to happen now will take some time, and there is still a lot to explain as well. Trust you will get your answers shortly. For the time being, I need as much of your continued cooperation as possible. My superiors are going to divide you up. Your group will be moved to a new location. There, you will gain more information and be allowed to rest. That sounded nice. Superiors and being split up, not so much. Granted, the only people who could be taken away from me now were Timber and Lara. I already lost Wiccan. Being taken away from the other two would send me over the edge. We'd only known each other for maybe an hour, but I'd already come to draw strength from them both. Lara gave me a purpose to keep moving forward. Timber gave me security and protection. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed movement above us. When I looked up, I saw the outline of several individuals. Almost all of them were female, I'm pretty positive. They all had long hair and slender frames, but they were also tall, just like the man from outside of the store earlier, when all of this chaos had started. The rest of the details were absorbed by the darkness. Those people had to have been the superiors Paul spoke of. They whispered to each other words I couldn't make out. The sound was like a soft humming or a breeze moving through the grass. These strangers' gazes were on us. I could feel it, and they watched over our every move, observed us, discussed us. Paul listened to his headset some more. When I tap your shoulder, please stand. He walked out into the entryway. A quiet murmur of voices rumbled through the crowd. Changing my mind and running seemed like a good idea. Of course, the whole part Paul had mentioned about being punished for fighting kept me glued to the floor. Punishment wasn't death, no, but that didn't mean it couldn't suck. A lot. There's that phrase that some things are worse than death. I didn't want to find out what those things were. Instead of running, I did the next best thing and reached for Timber's hand. I would have killed for a hug, but that would be a good enough. But this would be good enough for the time being. As much as I wanted to crumble and cry in his arms, I kept myself as strong and stoic as possible because for some reason I didn't want to be persevered or perceived as weak by him or anyone else there. His fingers interlaced with mine, and he gave my hand a squeeze. The first group called away was two of the older couples and most of the younger ones. That one left. Paul selected the next group of people. This one had a few small families and more couples. Pairings seemed to be the most popular, so perhaps I would be able to go home soon after all. I mean, I was single. Maybe that made me less interesting than everyone else. When it was just Timber, a small group of kids, and myself, Paul used both of his hands to wave for us to rise. Slowly, I stood. Glancing above me, I noticed that only one female spectator remained. I couldn't see her eyes, but I knew our gazes were meeting. She nodded at me and then walked away and out of sight. I shivered. Paul smiled at us. You're going to be coming home with me. Welcome to the family. 6. Chevelle. Paul walked us out of the mall. The afternoon sun was blinding, but I was so happy to see it all the same. I never thought I'd get a chance to, and the darkness was starting to get disorienting. There were no swarms of cop cars waiting outside like I had been hoping. In fact, it was eerily void of life. Paul placed a small plastic dot on our wrist, and before I could ask him what the heck was going on, the mall, the outside world, planet Earth, all dissolved from our view, and we were standing inside of home. Welcome home. No. No, thank you. I did not want to go to Paul's home and to be a part of it, especially since Paul's home was a freaking spaceship. Not kidding, because the first thing I saw when my vision came back into focus was Earth from outside of the atmosphere. Please tell me that's a TV, I whimpered. Shaking noticeably, Timber walked toward the window and tapped the glass. He spun on his heel, glaring at Paul. What is going on? Where are we? Earth's orbit, Paul said. Paul said it so calmly. Now he had officially stepped over from comforting to creepy. He took in a deep breath. I was confused and scared at first, too, but I promise this is a good thing. Quite possibly the best thing for you, your family, and our species. We've been kidnapped by aliens, I choked out. Please wake me up now, please. I want to go back to my real home. I want to see my mom, my dad, my dog, even my annoying little brother. How could he expect me to leave all of that behind and then call it a good thing? For a moment, Paul only stood there and watched us. The kids were crying and starting to freak out, calling for their mom and dad. Timber was pacing. His footsteps were heavy, fists clenched so hard his knuckles were white, though the rest of him seemed calm and composed. As for me, I just stood there like a total loser, still hugging that stupid hippo. I stood and stared at Paul with my jaw dropped and my eyes wide with tears because I still couldn't believe that any of this was real. How could it be? It all started with meeting a mega superstar hottie, climaxed with a love confession from a stud, and now I was in freaking outer space? But if it was a dream, shouldn't I have woken up by now? At the very least, I should have had some more control. Every other dream I've had where I know I'm asleep I'd always been able to magically make things go away. Not with this. It was real, and it took about 30 pinches for me to finally accept that fact. Paul walked over to the children and touched each one gently on the forehead. I promise you will not be harmed. There is a safe and loving home waiting for each of you. They had parents, Timber said sharply. Parents who left them alone in a mall to selfishly pursue other things, Paul said softly. We've been watching. My superior has a special soft spot for children, so I'm glad she was able to claim them. They will be much happier here than with the others. I lost it then. What are you talking about? He shook his head. There is one more place I need you to follow me, and then I promise to answer as many of your questions as I'm allowed. What if I don't want to? Timber folded his arms in front of him. Then you remember what happens to those who fight? Those rules still apply. Timber growled and waved a hand in front of him. Fine, I'll comply for the time being. I wondered if he was thinking the same thing I was. If he rebelled, who else would get hurt? Just him, both of us, the kids too, because the idea of trying to run away did cross my mind. Then I remembered I was on a spaceship. There weren't a lot of places I could go. I was still baffled about being on the ship to begin with. Space, right outside. Talk about claustrophobia. One crack in the glass, and it was all over for all of us. I still wasn't ready to die. Nodding at Paul, I rubbed Timber's forearm. An hour ago, I'd probably have admired the strong, defined curvature of his muscles under his button-down T-shirt. None of that popped into my head then. All I wanted was for him to calm down and not do something stupid that would get us all hurt or killed. Paul seemed to approve, because when his gaze met mine, his smile widened. Follow me, then. I will show you to where you'll be staying. He led us down a hallway. It reminded me a lot of an apartment setup. There were numbers on all of the doors, plush maroon carpeting on the ground, and a fake, home-like beige paint on the wall. A few pictures of landscapes hung between every three doors. The bright fluorescent lights overhead and the clank of metal under the carpet as we walked were good reminders that we weren't in a standard apartment building. We stopped, and Paul unlocked a door, number 111. He pointed at Timber and I. This is where you'll stay. I will return as soon as I drop off the children to their respective units. Then we'll talk. He practically shoved us into the room. Right before he closed the door on us again, Timber grabbed Paul by the arm. Lara stays with us. She stays with us. I promised I would watch her until she found her mom. Paul frowned but nodded. That's fine if that's what she wishes. Lara, who up until now had been practically invisible, stepped forward. She pushed her way past Paul and took Timber's hand. Paul smiled and shut the door behind him as he left the three of us inside. The lock turned. I waited a few seconds before looking at the door to see if I could unlock it from the inside. Whatever the lock was, it wasn't anywhere I could find it. Defeated, I leaned against the door and sank to the ground. Quiet. Everyone was so quiet. I couldn't stand it. That was when the tears started to pool in my eyes, and once they started, there was no stopping them. I pulled my knees to my chest, clutched the hippo, and buried my face in it, breaking down into a total sob fest. And I didn't care anymore. All I wanted to do was go home. Whatever joke was being played on me wasn't funny. Whatever goal these aliens people had, I didn't want any part of it. I felt the small arms wrap around my shoulders. When I lifted my gaze, I saw Lara holding me and crying too. She was also smiling. Why wasn't she crapping bricks and freaking out too? I risked a glance over at Timber. He stood off to the side, his gaze bouncing between the floor and me. Slowly, he rubbed his arms with his hands, as if trying to warm himself, but I knew what he was really trying to do. He was trying to keep his cool. I beckoned him over with a wave. No reason why he couldn't get in this love too. Slowly, he came over, knelt down, and held both Lara and myself in one embrace. We hugged one another until Paul returned. All right, and I'm going to call it right there, and we'll have another episode soon. Bye.